If you do not know where you are going, any road will do. This is the Absolute Philosopher, Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, bringing you the Absolute Philosopher. Now, this is almost a conundrum. If you do not know where you are going, any road will do. If you do not know what is important for you in life, if you do not know how you're going to accomplish whatever it is you're going to accomplish, if you are just so unaware, it doesn't matter where you're going, because you won't get anywhere. I used to hitchhike when I was a kid, and I was out of the Navy, traveling over to the United States, and you could just put your thumb up and hitchhike, and there were no bad people in that relationship, and so everybody gave you a ride. Some people gave you a ride with ulterior motives, and if you had no recognition of the ulterior motive, it didn't touch you. I've had rides from men who would approach me, and I was so naive that I just ignored their approach and just pretended that they were being very nice people, you know. And that's just what they were, very nice people. I had women who approached me as I was hitchhiking around the country, and I just ignored their approach and did nothing to encourage their approach. And they took me out for meals. They would stop at restaurants and go to really nice restaurants and take me in to, and have me eat with them and so forth. And they often invited me to their motel at night. And I said, no, I want to keep on going, you know. I want to see how much miles I can get going. And then I got in the middle of the desert and I took out my sleeping bag and went to bed. But I didn't need to be wrestled by any attitudes or emotions that were not my goal. My mother always said to me, and the rest of us kids, when you get married, it's time enough for you to have sex. When you get married, it's time enough for you to have relationships. When you get married, it's time enough for you to do all these things. And we didn't know anything about sex except that it existed, you know. And we had never tasted sex, so we therefore had no desire for it. And we had not allowed ourselves to build up a passion for it like other people by reading love stories, great love stories and great sexual escapades in the stories. We just never did. Mother always encouraged us to read the finest and the highest and most beautiful books. And there were books on philosophy. There were books on love, on books on poetry, on, you know, beautiful poetry and beautiful stories and other things. And then we'd ask her questions about some of the books we read, and she would come up with the most sound, basic ideas you could ever want. And so we didn't even have to think true love can wait. We just knew that we had no desire. And we were certainly not abnormal children. We were very normal children, but we hadn't been, what would you say, raised on sex. Today, young people are raised on sex. And in the 50s and 40s, 50s and 60s, they were raised on sex. And of course, they may have been raised on it back when we were kids too, but we weren't in that crowd. And not that that's good, not that that's bad. It's just that that was not where our parents had guided us to walk our path. And we never felt superior to the other kids who would come and tell about their stories, and we never felt that they were inferior to us because they did those things that our mother would not recommend. Now, you see, if you do not know where you are going, any road will do. And mother always encouraged us to walk the high road, always encouraged us to have the ideals, have ideals and have goals, and always be a role model for the world, of what it is to be a nice person, a friendly person, a loving person, a gentle person, a caring person. So we raised ourselves, Mother thought she did it, but we raised ourselves on the teachings that she gave us. We practiced them, you see, and by practicing them, we knew where we were going. We were going to live the philosophy that was the most beautiful thing in the world to us. We read all the Unity books. We read all the books from other positive thinking groups. And we were raised on that. And when we went to church, we went to Boy Scouts. We went to Cub Scouts. We did all the things they did. And we learned all the things that you're supposed to learn in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And we weren't strange from that. And my brother-in-law, Bill, when he was raising his six kids, he had been an Indian guide when he was a kid. And so he put his kids through Indian guides. And Indian guides are where they teach all of the high mucky-muck ideals of the Indians, you know. Many Indians would be surprised at how wonderful they are. But at the ideals that they had read out of Indian lore and Indian tradition and taught that to their children. Well, now, their children are good kids, but they were raised in the period of openness in morals, and they struggled a lot, but they've all come through pretty well. And they've all come through as pretty fantastic children, just like Ellen's kids are coming through, grandkids, her kids too, but her grandkids are coming through as elegant children. They know where they're going. Now, does that mean when you say you know where you're going, that you know you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a carpet maker, or a butcher, or whatever? No, you have no idea. What you do is that you have ideals. You have principles. And when you know that you have these principles and you live by these principles, then your life is guided by those principles. And then the principles are knowing where you're going. You're going through life, living your principles, living your ethics, living your ideals, and not thinking that they're noble or wonderful or great. That's just who you are. If you are a girl, you act like a girl, not because girls are so great, but that's what you are. If you're a boy, you act like a boy, and the boy is however you've been taught a boy should be, not because being a boy is so great, but that's just who you are. Now, let's take a step further. If you are a father, how do you act like a father? Your own father didn't know how to act. Most of the fathers, they spend as much time away from the family as they can, even when they can be at home. They go out and play poker, they go out, work on their cars, they go out, and they don't have time for their kids. And that's okay. It's probably better for the kids. But the thing is, the mother has the opportunity to train the children in ethics and values and in ways of living a very fantastic life if the children are ready to listen. Do you believe that the children of a mother who is not pushy, but who is just a role model herself, could teach these things? Oh, yes. You see, it's tough to be a mother because you cannot allow yourself to be angry. You cannot allow yourself to run off and do naughty things just because your husband does naughty things. You cannot allow yourself to think bad words or speak bad words or carry stories about anything because you're a role model. You're a role model to your children. But much more than that, you're a role model to the other mothers in the neighborhood. You're a role model to all of their children because their children play with your children. You see, the outreach of a mother as a role model and a good role model is far greater than they give it credit for, because that's pretty wonderful. To be a role model is to be one who lives the principle, one who lives what they believe. And in living what you believe, then what happens? Your family believe you too. It's not that true love can wait, as that beautiful inscription was. It's that true love always exists. Sex can wait. The need of the body can wait. Now they say, until you're 21, you cannot go drinking, you know, or 18, you know, whatever the age is they want to say. But until you're 21, you cannot have these legal rights. Until you're 18, you cannot have these legal rights. Well, you can't say until you're 18 or 21, you cannot have sex, because that's the first thing that they're going to go do. And you cannot drive a car until you're 16. Well, how many people do you think on the face of the earth who drive cars didn't drive before they were 16? The majority do that. And, hey, that's not unusual. My son was 2 years old or 3 years old, and he sat on my lap, and he drove the car. And he was 4 years old, and we went into the Mississippi River. The mayor loaned us his beautiful speedboat, and Mark sat there at the helm of the boat, driving that boat full speed, going in circles. And we had such a good dizzy time, and he just loved it. And he probably even remembers it now. But it was a great event. Now, I was always there, making sure that the circle was not too tight, so we'd spin over on ourselves, or so that the speed was too great, because something was underneath the gas pedal and wouldn't let it go down any further, you know. So my foot is what was there, down and under there. But you see, when you do all these things, when you do all these things as a loving parent, then you can be sure that if you know where you're going, and where you're going is to be an ideal reference for all the children in your world and all the adults in your world. And if you are that, then you are great. People who hear me talk, they say to themselves, man, can one person really be so profound and so good like that? Let's chop him down. Let's chop him down. So, remember now, whenever you're a mind to chop somebody down, stop and think what you're chopping down. Are you chopping down their principles or the ethics that they teach? Or are you chopping down the fact that you should be living up to them yourself? And if you can pull that person down, then you don't look so bad not living up to it yourself. And, hey, understand that. Understand that with unconditional love. And if you understand that with unconditional love, you don't hate the other person. You can't hate the other person anyhow. And any road will not do. Only the road of principle, of ethics, of morals, of right action, of unconditional love. That's the only road that'll do for me. How about you? I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.